Welcome to the Daily Success Media Network, featuring interviews with today's leading success mentors, motivators, leaders, innovators, and trendsetters who make a daily difference. Today's show is Spiritual Destinations. Now here is your host.
Hello, everybody. This is Catherine M. Laub, and I welcome you to today's episode of Spiritual Destinations. I am an author and speaker, psychic medium, spiritual coach, along with being a wife, mother, grandmother, and I recently became a great-grandmother. I love to spend time with my family and all the little ones. Today, I will be interviewing Heather Padusta. Heather has over 30 years of professional performance experience on stage as an operatic soprano, as a national speaker, and as the host of the popular podcast and television show, Thrive. She combines her unique performance skills with her expertise as a personal brand strategist, image consultant, and business coach to teach driven entrepreneurs how to become highly profitable, dynamic presenters, and rise to celebrity status. Her clients have appeared on national platforms and made thousands of dollars speaking live and in front of the camera. However, Heather's greatest love is helping entrepreneurs get to the core of who they want to be and giving them the tools to express themselves powerfully and authentically. I'm really excited to introduce you to Heather and look forward to hearing all the wonderful things she has accomplished. We ask our spirit guides, loved ones, and angels to be present during our time together and to guide us through a wonderful conversation. Hi, Heather. It's great to be speaking with you.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
You're welcome. I'm excited because you have so much talent and so much to share. So we will be excited through the whole show.
There you go. Absolutely.
And as I was doing the introduction, I pulled an angel card for you from the Angel Therapy deck. And the name is Singing and Dancing.
No way. That's awesome.
It is so interesting how those angels pulled together all of my readings. This one's self-explanatory because you are a singer. And I see a lot of purple in the card, so that shows me that Archangel Michael is always near you. He's supportive of you. And he helps you on your path. Excuse me. And on the card, there's a zigzag path. So it shows the many options that you had in life and that you made a couple turns. And although you love singing, you decided to become the entrepreneur that you are. And it also reads, express yourself and awaken your psychic senses through the magical power of music and movement. So I'm sure when you're singing, you like to dance too, and that energy brings out all the excitement in everybody that you work with because you have so much energy to share. Does that paint a good picture of you?
I think so, absolutely. And I love the part about having the psychic energy move through you when you sing, because that's been a lifelong journey of mine that I never knew I was going to be taking. So it's pretty cool to have that come full circle in the card. That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Everybody does have the psychic energy, but they don't recognize it, or some people don't understand it. So it's wonderful when you already have that knowledge and your energy just sparks the room, and I can feel your energy, I can feel your energy just by talking to you. So that's a beautiful thing to be able to share.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited about it as well, and it's really a life journey to get to the point where I'm using my voice for more than just self-gratification, you know, that's serving at a deeper level as well.
Yes. And I call myself an accidental psychic because I didn't learn my abilities until 2010. And for me, it's been a wonderful journey.
Wow.
Yes. So, Heather, you call yourself a star maker. What does that mean?
Well, it means that I help people bring out their potential. And I'm a really big believer that everybody has incredible star power, their gifts. We all have talents. We're all here to be creative. We're all here to share and give and help each other. And a lot of people have that talent like right under the surface, and they feel that pull to express themselves, but they don't know how to get it out. And sometimes they get it out, but it's not refined, it's not packaged. And I know sometimes people bristle at the idea of packaging, of branding, of, you know, it feels kind of fake and sort of jazz hands Hollywood. But when you can put a structure around something so people can see the value and understand what you're expressing, and it's your presenting yourself at the highest level, that's what star making is to me. That helping people find their voice, right, like their true voice, and then putting it in a package that really amplifies that voice in the best possible way so that they're ready for stage, they're ready to really talk about what they do, they have products and programs that support their message, all of those things. And then, of course, there is the whole part about it that is a visual wow factor. Like you know, you turn heads with when you walk in the room with the way you look, the way you present yourself, the way you talk, that you're met, all of those things together. Just like when you meet someone or see someone who's a star, maybe it's not a Hollywood star, maybe it's just a star in your community or a star in your industry, you know who it is because they have that quality that lights people up and makes them want to know more about them.
That's a lovely description. And I believe I'm still trying to become a star.
Well, I think we're all trying to amplify what we have all the time.
I don't have my package the way you describe it, but I'm getting there. And by talking to everyone on my shows, it's been a great help because I learn a little bit from everybody, and I just love growing from it.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it is for everybody, that you start where you are and you refine as you go. I mean, it's like having a piece of clay in front of you. It doesn't just automatically turn into a sculpture. You have to chip away at it. But the art is there. The masterpiece is there. You're just creating it as you go.
Yes, exactly. And that's how I feel. So how did you become a star maker?
Well, as you know, as we've been talking about at the beginning, I'm a singer, and I've been a singer pretty much my entire life. I mean, one of my earliest memories is of me singing. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I was sitting on a street corner and making up songs, waiting for someone to come over to play, probably. And, you know, just like kids do, I was singing and making up songs, but I had a really distinct thought that I remember vividly, which is, I hope someone walks by and hears me and discovers me.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we didn't have America's Got Talent or American Idol. It was just a really pure organic desire of a kid to be seen and to be heard, to have their talent recognized, to feel special. And, you know, we all have those desires, and we go about getting that validation in different ways. And for me, it was through music. And I did pursue that and did all the things that musical kids do, took voice lessons, piano lessons. I was in plays and musicals and solos and competitions. And then I graduated from high school. And before I left, I had a year abroad where I went to Germany on a congressional scholarship. And when I had grown up in a really small town in northern Wisconsin, a farming community, And I'd never been to an opera or anything like that. I just, you know, I grew up with cows. But
right.
So I'm in Germany on this scholarship, and I wanted to continue my singing lessons. And my teacher was an American opera singer who was touring in Europe at the time. And he suggested that I go to see an opera because it was so much more prevalent in Europe at the time. So I got a chance to go when we did a field trip to Berlin. And I remember walking in this theater, and it was this beautiful, beautiful theater. And the conductor came out, and the music started playing, and it was La Boheme, which is like one of the most famous Puccini operas ever written. And the music is extraordinary, and the singing was so gorgeous, and the pathos and the romance. And I knew, I said, that's what I want to do. And the biggest thing was the applause. And I was totally intoxicated by that, and I thought, oh, if that's how you get that applause, that's where I want to be. So I went back to the States. I went to conservatory. I took voice lessons. I did all those things and tried to become an opera singer. And the more I worked at my singing, the tenser my body became, because I was no longer the big fish in the little pond in the Wisconsin farming town. I was now among some of the best musicians in the entire world, the singers that were all trying to be world-class singers, go to the Met, all of them wanted the same thing. And I started to develop a lot of body tension, and it affected my technique. I lost my high notes. I was stiff. Just, I don't know if you can have that feeling while I'm describing it, but it's terrible.
I do.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yes.
And, but I wanted this so, so badly, and I worked extremely hard to overcome it. I went to New York and worked with a world-renowned breathing specialist. He wasn't a musician. He worked with emphysema patients, and I wanted to learn how to control my breath. I went to therapy to try to clear my brain and the blocks that were getting in the way. I went to acting lessons and stage movement lessons. I went to Europe and studied Italian. I mean, I did everything I could think of to become world class. And I worked really hard. So I started getting bit things, and I eventually wound up at Boston Lyric Opera. I was in the professional chorus, and I had some small parts. But after many years of being in the chorus, I remember sitting on stage for a production of The Magic Flute, and I was positioned on the stage with my back to the audience, and it was a full house, the Schubert Theater, the orchestra was playing, and I looked up, and the lead soprano, who was singing Pamina, was singing directly over me, over the top of my head. And I remember thinking, oh, this is not what I signed up for. This is not how my vision was supposed to turn out. With me, with my back to the audience, nobody can see me, nobody can hear me, and I'm sitting here being forced to watch someone live my dream, singing literally over the top of my head. And that was my come to Jesus moment, and I said, nope, I'm done. I don't know what else I'm going to do, but this is too painful. And that started my path, really, of deep self-development and entrepreneurship. I really had to figure out what my next step was, because my identity was as a singer. Like my personal identity was as a singer. It wasn't just my profession. It was who I was. And I ended up going to some career counseling and found that I was interested in image consulting, because I was always good at dressing for the stage. It's part of auditioning, of knowing how to look good so people notice you. And I got certified for that, and I enjoyed it, but there was something else that was kind of pulling at me, and I didn't feel completely satisfied. So I went back to my career counselor, and I said, is there something else that I think I need to be doing? And she told me about personal branding. And when I found out what that was, I said, oh, yes, this is what I need to be doing, because it was a metaphor for singing. You're helping people find their voice, find their unique sound, connect with their audience, look the part, tell a powerful story. All of those things are what you do as an opera singer, and it's what you do in your business, too, when you're branding yourself. You have to connect with your audience. You need to be able to be compelling with your story. You have to find your own message, your own sound. So that was really the path. And, you know, as with all entrepreneurs, it's been a winding, you know, I was interested when you were talking about the zigzag on my card, because it has not been a straight line. It's been a zigzag. And it's taken me a while to kind of come full circle of, okay, how do these things come together, my unique gifts and talents, and what does that mean? And that's where Star Maker really came in, because I do have the performance experience, and I did go through the path of image consulting training, and I am a certified brand strategist, and I've done all this work on marketing and sales training and all this deep work on growing into your authenticity. And all of those things are things that I believe make someone a star. And because it's been a deep, painful, transformative, windy journey for me, it really helps me to see the potential in other people and help them move past the blocks that they need to shine at the level they need to get noticed in the way they want to be noticed. So that's how it all came together.
Wow. So, yes, it's like I said, those angels know what cord I need to pull, and it's always perfect.
Yes. Have you ever pulled the singer card for anyone before?
I have during meetings amongst other cards, showing that, okay, well, your journey may be a little struggle right now, but in the end it's going to be that you're singing and dancing and celebrating. So it's different than pulling it for you, where it's talking about this is your journey.
That's so cool. I love it.
It really is. And you've gone through so much, and all of your experience has really done wonders for what you were able to transition to. And it's interesting. I really love your story. I'm sorry you didn't get to continue singing, but as you recognize that, yes, you realize that it's time to make that change. And instead of just making people hear your singing, you're helping them hear your voice, and to help them realize that their voice can be just as well in whatever avenue that they choose to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a unique voice, a unique singing voice, a unique speaking voice, and a unique soul voice. You know, like, we're all here for a unique path and a unique gift and a unique reason. So absolutely, 100%.
So what are some common misconceptions of what it means to brand yourself?
Oh, great question. I mean, I think the number one thing is that everybody thinks branding is your website and your logo and, you know, your visual branding. And that's a part, that's an important part of your branding. But I would say that that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions. And it's really all of the things that you bring to the table. It's all of who you are. It's your whole business. It's your point of view. It's about your products and your programs. It's your visual representation. It's how you are showing up and how you're communicating your value. So that's, I would say, the number one misconception about branding. I think another misconception is that you brand yourself and you're done. Oh, I'm branded. And we're always changing, we're always evolving. So I think that it's really helpful to think about branding as a point on a line that is always spiraling up. If you're going in that direction, hopefully we all are, but it's not an end point, it's a point on a line that's moving. So I think that that's one of the other things to think about is, you know, you are branding where you are at this moment, but you're not done. So I think that's another thing to think about.
And that comes true for myself, too, because as I said, that I only became an accidental psychic in 2010. I brought out my abilities, and I thought that I was supposed to market myself and brand myself as an angel communicator, and then I advanced into becoming a psychic, and then I became a medium, and then I attempted suicide, and it was an answer to a prayer and God's mission for me to talk about mental illness and try to help people. And just a few weeks ago, my angels gave me a term to brand myself with, and I'm now known as your turquoise angel guide. So although I was combining everything together, this kind of came to me only within the last few weeks since I've been trying to put things together in 2010. So I understand exactly what you're talking about.
And what does the turquoise angel guide mean?
Okay. So in mental illness, turquoise helps with focus, concentration. It's an uplifting color. It's a spiritual color. And it's just something that if you're struggling through the day, you wear turquoise or you have turquoise pictures and paper and whatever. And angel guide is because my psychic readings are done with angel cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it just pulled it all together. And this way people will know that, okay, turquoise angel guide, you're talking about a couple things and combining them together.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's great. And I love that there's a specific meaning behind it, too. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's brand new. And as you said, you know, we're always changing. So, you know, I'm waiting for the next step to come up and say, okay, this is your next route.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I also love that you claim the space. And I think that's something really important for your audience to think about is if you can, instead of just giving yourself a title of what you do, if you can own a space, like I'm a brand strategist, I'm an image consultant, I'm a speaking expert, I'm a marketing coach, blah, blah, blah. I'm all those things, but those are all things that I do. But I am the star maker. Like that is like the thing, you know, it kind of encompasses all of that stuff that is a unique space. So it's just a little tip for your audience to think about instead of thinking about what it is that you do, like your function, what is your space that you occupy that's unique? So you've done that beautifully. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I will continue to share that with everybody because that really does make a lot of sense. I struggled when I met people, I would say, well, I do this, I do that, and I never had a focal point. So this really brought it together. So thank you for commenting on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Heather, you talk often about the importance of self-love and branding.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important, and how can it impact your business success?
Oh, man, it's everything. It's everything. It's the core of everything. And it's a little bit touchy-feely. Well, it's a lot touchy-feely, but it's very businessy because 9 times out of 10, if you are stuck in your business, you can definitely trace it back to a lack of self-love. I know people who have been struggling with their title, their tagline, what we were just talking about, for years, because it feels too big, it feels too bold to own a space like that, right? Like you just said, I'm the turquoise angel guide, is that what you said?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, turquoise angel guide. So it takes a certain amount of confidence to say that, right? You're not just any angel guide, you're the turquoise angel guide. If you didn't feel confident in that, if you didn't have full ownership of that, you wouldn't be able to say it. And you certainly wouldn't be able to say it with confidence with other people if you didn't have that space inside yourself. And a really big part of branding is feeling comfortable enough about who you are and loving yourself enough to express who you are authentically without changing or shifting to guess what other people are going to approve of. And that is a huge key in being successful. Because if you're constantly morphing yourself into what you think is going to sell, you're not operating from your core. And your core is where all the sexy, juicy, like, juju is that draws people to you. So self-love is huge in my book, and it's 9 times out of 10 it's where people get blocked in their businesses and definitely in their branding. So I know from my own experience from singing, like I have that physical metaphor to compare it to, that so much of what was keeping my body stuck was that lack of self-love and approval, and I was constantly trying to get the applause instead of singing from my heart and what was trying to come through me. So I believe that to my core that it's super important.
That's interesting, because you had confidence from age 4 that you wanted to be known and have people hear you, but at the same time, you kind of sabotage yourself, is what you're saying.
Yes, and I think that it's there are two questions wrapped up in there. Huh? Why did I want to be known? Like, why did I want people to notice me? Was I not being noticed in the way that I wanted to be noticed? And then the second part of it is, you know, along the way, sometimes we, not just me as a singer, but we as human beings get lots of messages why it's not okay to be who we really are. You're what? You're an aqua angel guide? You're a turquoise angel guide? Well, that's weird. Why would you want to be that?
Yep.
Right? And I'm just picking your title as an example, but we all go through that, and especially when we're growing as children, those are very deeply ingrained messages. And I'm not saying that, you know, I had lots of wonderful things about my life, but those messages about what's okay, what's not okay, stop us from expressing ourselves fully. So I hope that answered that question.
Yes, for sure, because, you know, I feel like everybody does go through it, and some of us are still trying to figure, well, what is the message that's holding us back? And in my case, I don't know what was holding me back in general. And then I finally made the decision, you know, it was in 2014, my attempt, and God said to me, your mission in life is to help people. And that's why I made this happen to you, because now you have the experience to share with others. Mm. And with that message, it was like you hear on the airlines. You must put the oxygen mask on yourself before you can help others. So that told me it's okay to take care of myself, make me number one, because if I don't become number one, I can't help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that time that I decided, okay, you know what? Whatever people think about me, that's their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming off authentically the person that I am, and I gave myself the confidence to share my story, to know that some people will think badly of me and other people will love me for it because I'm out there trying to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the self-love comes in. If you can't have that self-love, you cannot move forward. So that I see as one of your biggest messages.
Absolutely. And I think that just to articulate the point even more, and it's superhuman to get to this point, but the goal is really to get to the point where you are so consumed with the passion for getting your message out that supersedes any stopping yourself from what anybody thinks. Like, you're going to always have haters. And the more, you know, pronounced your message is, the more, you know, bold you are about saying who you are and what you think, the more you're going to divide your audience, because, you know, it's easy for people to just be like, okay, you're vanilla, you're not bad, you're not great, you're not bothering me, I'm not offended by you, I don't love you. But as soon as you turn into, like, you know, licorice coffee ice cream, some people are like, ugh, who are you to be licorice coffee ice cream? And other people are like, oh my God, I've been waiting for you my whole life, right? So, and then but you don't change. I'm, you know, as a licorice coffee ice cream, you have to be like, I'm cool with that. I'm not going to change into vanilla because people are not getting the unique flavor that I bring.
Exactly. And my belief is that if your message is to be heard, the right people will hear it.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
And you have to open your mouth and sing for people to hear your message. You can't just keep it locked inside.
That's right. Exactly. And I inspire others to speak up. And I love the feeling that it gives me because I was able to help that person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So how does an entrepreneur or professional create a celebrity brand, and what are the advantages?
Well, the first, there are some key things that need to be in place. And the first one is to understand your point of view. We were just talking about that. What do you stand for? What is your message? And why is it your message? A friend of mine has a saying, which I borrow, I love it, is that there are no unique messages. There are only unique messengers. Like, you know, you and I are talking about the same thing, right? Self-love. And
yes.
But we're, I mean, I'm not the turquoise angel guide, right? You are. And your message and your story and why you have that message is uniquely yours. And so you have, so as a star, you really have to understand what your point of view is, why it's yours, connect the dots, hone your message so that it's crystal clear, and take ownership of it. So that's the first thing. And then you need to really get that message out, because stars don't sing in the shower, right? They're on stage. And it doesn't mean you have to be on a physical stage, but stars are at the front of the room. They're not in the audience. They're leading the way. They are, you know, they've got the megaphone in front of their mouth. And it might be you're a writer. It might be you're a speaker. It might be something else. But you have to be visible. You, in order to be a star, you have to be visible. And then the other piece of it is you got to look the part. And I talk about that, you know, this is the image consulting hat coming on, which is there's a difference between being casual and being sloppy. Being casual and laid back versus being apathetic. And it doesn't mean that everybody has to walk around in heels or wear designer clothes. That's not the point. The point is having a distinctly unique personal style, and a style online, a visual brand online that's, you know, recognizable, that's polished. And I often give the example, if you walk into a store like Eddie Bauer. You know, Eddie Bauer is not Chanel. It's kind of woodsy. It's a little more laid back. And but I don't know where the audience lives, but where I live in the Boston area, all the Eddie Bauer stores you walk in are like super clean. All the shirts are folded. They have the pine tables that are on brand. They have the videos in the back of people kayaking. It's like they have their branding down. It's casual, it's woodsy, it's laid back, but it's super intentional, it's super polished, and they've got their act together. So, you know, people who walk the red carpet are not going there with dirty hair and ripped jeans. They're dressing for the moment, they're dressing on brand. So what is your visual brand? Is what does your website look like? What do your social media platforms look like? What do you look like when you're walking around? And how does your photography look online? How do you present yourself when you're on stage? What is your body language? So all of those pieces as well. So the three main pieces, I say, are message, image, and performance skills. And then if you want to leverage that to make star income, you need to have a profit strategy on the back end. Like, you can't just go out and say, ta-da, you have to know what your strategy is for making money. It might be your products and programs. It might be that you are speaking and getting paid to speak. It might be, you know, some other way that you're leveraging your fame, right? Because if you're famous without making money, I mean, you're wasting some of the opportunity, because that gives you that exposure. So I think that that's part of the question. And what's the benefit? The benefit is that you have more impact. You have more impact, more influence. It's like having a magic wand to do more good in the world, to do what you want to do in the world. And it also, I think one of the sort of softer benefits to being a celebrity brand, star brand, is what we were talking about before. If you are clear about your message and you know why you're doing what you're doing, if you feel great about the way that you are expressing yourself visually, if you feel confident about your performance chops, you're going to feel great about yourself. If you know what your strategy is for creating wealth in your business, you are going to feel great. You're going to feel like a star. You're going to feel on top of your game. So that's kind of a softer benefit of that. It's the influence, the impact. Of course, you know, if you're a star, if you're Michael Jordan, you're going to make more money on the team than somebody else. If you're Tom Brady, you're going to make more money than some of the other players. You're the star. So there's the income potential, there's the influence potential, the impact potential, but then there's also the personal potential of how it's going to make you feel. Who are you going to become as a result of this journey? So I think it's a great journey to be on, personally.
Yes, it is, most definitely, because we all have our ups and downs, but once we hone in, like you said, that we know we're doing, we do feel better about ourselves. And as I said, that I was not feeling good about myself, but this journey has really brought me so far that to be considered as your turquoise angel guide. And when I'm in public and I go to meetings and events, I wear turquoise because people know that that is me. And even if I just have a turquoise headband on, they say, oh, you're wearing your turquoise. And it's so exciting for people to recognize that.
Yes, that's perfect. That, you know, that's one of the things I talk about is having a brand hook. Like, what is that distinguishing thing? What's your thing? Like, what is your tagline? Like, at the end of my blog posts and at the end of all of my podcasts, I say, here's to hitting your high notes, because I'm an opera singer and I had a hard time hitting my high notes for a big part of my life. And you have your turquoise. It's like that hook, that stickiness that people are going to remember you. That's perfect.
Okay. So we ran into a little glitch, but we're continuing on. And what I would like to do now is have you sing a couple lines of a song, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. And luckily, I'm at home in front of my piano, so I can even play the piano for you.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, hopefully it comes through on the piano. This is When I Fall in Love by, the music's by Victor Young and the words by Edward Hyman. So hold on one second, okay?
Thanks.
Hopefully, we'll know if it doesn't come through, but I think it will. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I was swaying with it. I felt, oh, so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh. And we did hear the piano. Everything came through clearly.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Glad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So you talk about your presentation skills, and why is it so important that our entrepreneurs and professionals should become good speakers?
Well, you're always speaking about your business. You and I are speaking about both of our businesses right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out for coffee, I went out for coffee with a girlfriend of mine this morning, an entrepreneurial girlfriend, and we were talking about our businesses, and I wasn't trying to sell her. She wasn't trying to sell me, but she knows more about me, and if she's talking to someone else who knows somebody that might know somebody that needs what I have to do, if I can't articulate what I do in a compelling way, in a clear way, she can't refer me. And beyond that, if you want to be a leader in your industry, you need to be at the front of the room. Even if you are, like you said, you know, kind of working your way through the first machinations of getting up and being a speaker and you're not secure, you will get more secure by doing it. And the person at the front of the room, no matter how clumsily they make it through their presentation, they're the authority because they're standing at the front of the room. So if you want more impact, more income, you want to become a more confident, compelling, dynamic speaker. Speakers lead and leaders speak. It's just the way it is.
Yes, that's beautiful. And I was going to ask what separates good speakers from great ones, but I think you just answered that in, practicing.
Well, I'll give you actually a couple of other things. What separates a good speaker from a great speaker? Practicing, of course, right? That's developing your chops. But there are a couple of other things. I think great speakers are willing to take emotional risks, and they're willing to go deeper, tell more vulnerable stories, use stories. So if you've been to corporate presentations where it's all facts, ma'am, and a 40, you know, slide PowerPoint show, it's like, okay, wake me up when it's over, right? It's too dry.
Yeah.
You need narrative. You need great stories. You need to be an actress or an actor. You need to know how to tell the story. You need to know how to build suspense, right? You have to use the texture of emotion. And then if you're in a big space, you have to know how to command your body. So great speakers know how to use the space. They know how to go, you know, use their arms and their legs and their back and project their voice and know how to win the audience over when they're softer. So it's creating more texture with the emotion, taking vulnerable risks, and then owning your body and knowing how to work the space. That's what really separates the great ones from the good ones.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like a part of that is confidence.
Yes, absolutely. And confidence comes from a couple of places. Confidence comes from practice, for sure. And I just posted something on Instagram the other day. You don't get over stage fright by sitting in the audience. You have to get on stage. You have to practice. You have to practice performing, not just practice your speech. You have to practice performing. You have to practice getting up in front of people. And it doesn't mean you start in front of 1,000 people. You might practice in your living room with your kids or your friends, and then you build up. But there's, even if it's just one person, performing is performing, and it's different than practicing with your brush in the mirror. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is to know your material and be passionate about it. Like, if you know what you're doing, if you're a basketball player and you've shot 1,000 hoops, you feel pretty confident about your ability to make the next one, right? Like, it's practicing and knowing your content. And then the third thing, and I was just talking to my friend about that this morning, is don't make it about yourself. Make it about your audience. You're there as the channel. I mean, that's the mistake I made with my singing. Look at me. I'm a great singer. Clap for my voice. As opposed to now when I sing, it's use me. I am a channel. I am here to help transport and transform you and open you up and open up your heart. That's a completely different mindset. So if you're speaking, it's not about you. It's about what you're bringing to the audience. That takes the focus off you. You're there to serve. So if you can think about that, that also helps you become more confident.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And if there were one thing a listener would take away from this whole talk, what would it be?
I would say the most important thing is to express yourself. Of course, as a musician, I'm going to say that, but also as a business person. There are no business model police. There is no one out there that is going to arrest you and throw you in jail for doing business the way you want to do business, to follow your unique path. Just keep at it. Do it, you know, like Frank Sinatra said, do it your way. Do it your way and keep at it until it feels right. When it feels right, it's going to feel good. Find the mentors that align with you, Find the people that help you get closer to who you are, not who they want you to be. So once you have that alignment, then the rest is just semantics. The rest is just logistics, and you can figure that out with your strategy. But until that alignment is there, you're not going to ever be as great as you could be. So that's my, I guess that's my bold statement there.
And that's a beautiful statement. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Where can we get any more information about you and your projects and what is coming forward for you?
Absolutely. So you can find me at heatherpoduska.com, Heather, and then Poduska is P-O-D-U-S-K-A. That's my website. And I have private coaching programs on there for people who want to become powerful, profitable speakers and who want to really upgrade and understand and refine their brand. That's the easiest place to go. You can find me on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and I will be launching a program in the fall called Celebrity Status Retreat, which is a 3-day event in Boston for people who want to get their message straight. They're going to be practicing on stage with me for coaching. They get a professional photo shoot so that they look great in their pictures, all the things we've been talking about, and then they get to perform with a video reel at the end. So they leave with their talk, their photos, their video reel, and coaching from me. So it's the whole enchilada, and that will be forthcoming on my website as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I will continue to let people know that. Thank you.
Thank
let
you.
Let me know when it will be up there, and I'll share it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about it.
Yes, you're welcome. So thank you, Heather, for sharing with us today. I really enjoyed learning from you, and best part is hearing you sing and the power that you brought out.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I really want to acknowledge you for following your own voice and becoming the turquoise angel guide. It takes so much courage to do that, and you know, mental health is a really important, very important issue that people don't talk about enough, and I'm so thankful and feel blessed to have someone like you really helping people navigate that path and find more light and hope in their lives. So thank you.
Thank you. That's nice to hear, and I'm still learning myself on the best things to share, but I'm getting there, and I'm excited to share during my talks.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So everyone listening, thank you so much for your time and listening to everything that Heather had to share. And if you like this episode of Spiritual Destinations, please listen again next time and learn more about how spirituality has guided others to advance in their lives. You can find my information on my website at www.catherinemlaub.com. If you are interested in a psychic reading or coaching with me, you can find more information on my programs and readings page. And we can talk on the phone, through Skype, email, or if you are local to Lake Ronkonkoma, New York, in person. And again, you can find Heather at www.heatherpoduska.com. This is Catherine Laub. Have a wonderfully blessed day.
Thank you for listening to the Daily Success Media Network. Please tune in again, subscribe, share, and leave your comments.